Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Let's talk a bit about Heritage New Zealand now. The vision of which is honouring the past, inspiring our future, but you wouldn't necessarily guess that from some of the media coverage of this organisation at an age in which housing is in short supply and the disparity between who has and who has not is growing. Preserving history is often put at odds with serving the future. So here on Nights, every month, we're going to be learning a bit about what heritage does mean in Aotearoa, New Zealand. Andrew Coleman is Heritage NZ's chief executive, and he joins me now from our studio in Wellington. Kia ora, Andrew.
Kia ora, Emil.
It's nice having you here. Have you ever been introduced to Bolene Tyler out of interest?
Well, I thought the last session was really interesting because you've got to love New Zealand's history and heritage, don't you?
Indeed.
Whether it be sporting or Bendigo Station and the story of Shrek, and lots of things that we've got to talk about as well.
Let's before we get to that, let's talk a bit about you, and I'll just tell listeners as well, our text line is open on 2101 if you have questions for Andrew about Heritage NZ. So you're a Taihape man, is that right?
Oh gosh, yes I am. Born and bred in Taihape, a fantastic upbringing.
Yeah, I read here that when you went to high school, Māori studies was actually compulsory.
Yeah, that's true. And if you think back, it wasn't just yesterday either, by the way. It was quite a number of years ago. And in the early college years, Māori was compulsory for all students. So we went from science to maths to English to Māori. Didn't think anything of it.
And did that give you, not necessarily unique, but, you know, from a young age, an appreciation for New Zealand's very rich history?
It certainly did. And I think at the time, you didn't really realise how informative it actually was. And once you sort of develop into a career and it becomes more prominent and more real for the things that you're doing, I certainly appreciate it now as I look back. There's no doubt about that.
What's your favourite piece of heritage from Taihape?
Oh, actually, I get asked that a lot.
Yeah,
We've recently been working with the Rangitiki District Council over the grandstand at the Memorial Rec. It's one of those heritage buildings, one of many that has questions about it. The interesting thing was it's still quite a functional grandstand, and we were advocating, you know, why pull down something that actually exists so people can enjoy sport? Mm-hmm. Pleasingly, the council have decided to retain it and spend a bit of money on it and make it useful for the park. And the story of the locals, as I understand, they've said that maybe Andrew Coleman saved the grandstand, so how can that not be my best story?
Now, in terms of you, you know, we're going to be talking about heritage soon, but in terms of you, do you collect anything? Any memorabilia, your own piece of history?
Well, it's interesting when you talk about the New Zealand football history, yeah. Because I collect a little bit of sporting memorabilia. I've got a few things like cricket bats and rugby jerseys and books, lots of books on sport. I was interested because the first question in the quiz, yeah. I got that because I actually was in the stadium.
Stop
at
it.
Wellington. Oh. On that night when the All Whites beat Bahrain. Yep, fantastic occasion. So yeah, a bit of sporting memorabilia is what I collect.
Electrifying, I love that. Yeah, cricket bats. Any cricket bats in particular that you're especially proud of?
I've got one signed by the New Zealand cricket team when they played the West Indies about 20 years ago, and I've
nice.
Got that bat at home.
Cool. What's that? Is that a lava and wood? Or?
Oh, no. Actually, I don't even know if it's got a label on the back, but it's certainly not lava and wood. No, not from the good Hawke's Bay.
I like the bats that don't have any stickers on them, you know. they're endearing and mysterious.
It's yeah. fair to say it's a bat that's never been used on a cricket ball.
I bet, and never will either. All right, so let's talk about heritage. And I asked you before whether studying Māori studies at high school gave you an appreciation for the history of Aotearoa, because, and I guess one of the reasons for that is New Zealand, Aotearoa New Zealand is often thought of as being a relatively young country in the context of the world. You disagree with that?
I certainly do. I mean, I've travelled a lot overseas and I know, you know, world heritage and history and where it's dated from. And I also know that in New Zealand, you know, if you go back to 1300, there was the first evidence of occupation of Māori that's been uncovered through archaeological work. Mangahawia Bay up in Auckland, up in Northland, an island bay in Matarua Island. You know, there's carbon dating back to 1300. So New Zealand does have a very, very deep history. I often tell a story about driving through Northland one time, and I was with quite a prominent person who asked me what archaeology was all about. And I said, well, when you look over at that hill, what do you see? And I got this fantastic description of this lovely colonial house with the trees that surrounded it and the gardens that were in the environment of the house. And then the person stopped and said to me, actually, why did you ask that question? What do you see? And I said, well, I actually don't see anything that you see, because I see Māori heritage, because the house was actually on the top of the hill. It clearly had terracing on the way up. So it was obviously a fortified pa many, many years ago before it became, you know, a farmer's cottage in effect. Yeah. So when you think about that story, the true deep history of that place was actually under the ground.
That's a really interesting theme, and this is something that we should get to now, is that people often think of heritage as being buildings. You do not.
It's buildings and land and stories and everything that goes around that. I mean, archaeology is a really important function for New Zealand. If you want to know about the history of New Zealand, you know, most of it is under the ground. And so archaeological authorities, we issue about 600 archaeological authorities a year for where people are developing. If anyone knows or ought to have known that, you know, there may have been occupational use of that land pre-1900, they should and indeed must get an archaeological authority. It's not to stop the works, it's actually to enable the works and to allow the works to be managed in an appropriate way should they find anything that is of significance to New Zealand.
Now, I asked listeners if they had questions before, and I got one, and I thought we'd get to this maybe a bit later on, but let's get to it now anyway. You must get this quite a bit. Question for Heritage New Zealand, it reads, how do you justify blocking the McLean Flats in Wellington or other pieces of unusable or confirmed property from being developed for much-needed housing? You must get observations like this a fair bit, Andrew.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about that. McLean Flats, it's actually the Gordon Wilson Flats, I think they'll be referring to, and they're on the terrace. It's a little bit unfair to say that Heritage New Zealand is blocking it, because Heritage New Zealand has listed the flats as an important historical place, but it's also listed on the district plan, the Wellington City Council's district plan, and it's actually the district plan that affords the Gordon Wilson Flats protection. Our listing is informational, it's important, but it doesn't afford protection. So when you say blocking, it's actually the Wellington City Council's district plan, and I know there's been meetings recently about those flats. Just on those flats, it was interesting because I was at an engineers conference in Auckland one time a couple of years ago, and I was asked a question. Yes, you're right, Emil, it does come up a lot. You know, why are you doing everything you can to protect those ugly Gordon Wilson flats? And I said, it's interesting that the question's like that, because I said, if I was in a conference of architects, they'd be saying to me, why aren't you doing more to protect those beautiful Gordon Wilson flats? So Gordon Wilson flats, often when you see heritage in a place that looks untidy, it's got graffiti on it, it's not well maintained, that not well maintained happens to be the key issue. You know, they're in ownership, they're not owned by us, they're owned by individuals and trusts and organisations. And many, many a time we see them that they're just not well looked after. So they get themselves into a state of disrepair. You know, it's not Gordon Wilson's flat's fault that it looks like it does. Successive owners, I don't think, have actually spent what they should have been on maintaining them. I happened to have been up there one time, and I was told about how secure the site was. And I looked over and I looked at the fence and said, well, what about that 3 metre gap in the fence? Couldn't anyone just walk through that? So, yeah, blocking's not a fair word, because we don't block it. The council's district plan listing provides protection for that place.
It is a narrative that you hear a lot about, and understandably so as well. New Zealand has a growing population and extremely high house prices and rents, and land needs to be developed to take more people and lower price pressure on housing in Aotearoa.
Yeah.
And heritage protections or are often characterised as being a thing that stops that from happening. What is your or Heritage New Zealand's involvement when it comes to buildings being consented, rules around housing and so on and so forth?
Well, our heritage list, the Rārangi Kōrero list, is informational, it's well-researched, it's well-informed, it's available online on heritage.org.nz. Anyone who wants to read about a place of significance for New Zealand can go and do that. The misconception is that actually that record provides protection, and as I said, much like the Gordon Wilson Flats, it's the district plan of each council around the country that affords protection.
Yeah, so councils make calls on what can be developed and what can't, and Heritage New Zealand basically identifies buildings or areas that have historical significance to them, and you collate that information more. Is that that's shorthand?
That's exactly right, and you'd hope that the lists were the same, but they're not. We've long argued that maybe they should be the same. You know, it'd be nice if we had one list, and we've been arguing that for some time. I think it's actually on the housing and development, you know, the thing that I often think about is it's always couched in an either-or situation. It's either housing or heritage, or it's either housing or character buildings. And I say, actually, they can live in harmony. They can actually work well together. And in fact, most cities around the world, and indeed in New Zealand, if you look at the city and the landscape, they have their heritage or character areas, and then they have development areas. Wellington is no different. It's just that sometimes when housing becomes the topic of discussion, it's almost like heritage is blamed for those houses not being built. And I think that's a little bit unfair, because there's plenty of houses being built in areas where there is heritage. So why isn't it and is the word I'd like to see between all those things?
It is an interesting day to talk to you because the Wellington City Council has just, well, if it's approved, removed protections for a bunch of heritage-listed buildings. Do you have feelings about that and some of the buildings that that may have had those protections removed?
Yeah, because in relation to the buildings, like, we also provide advice and support, and that advice and support is to heritage owners about what's right and what might be best. Pleasingly, we own ourselves, for New Zealand, we own 45 heritage properties, and sometimes that's questioned as well. But the reality is, I've often argued that actually if you're going to advocate for heritage and for the protection and the restoration of heritage, you're better off to do it because you've done it yourself. So we know how to fix sash windows, for example. We know how others who have sash windows should fix them, and we can give that advice. There's 5,800 listed properties and places on our Rārangi Kōrero on the heritage list, and each of those is afforded advocacy should the owner want them.
What's your favourite building or heritage listed site in Aotearoa, New Zealand?
Yeah, I do get asked that a lot, Emil, and it's, you know, I was going to say dangerous. It's not quite dangerous, but as soon as I mention a place,
yeah,
you can guarantee that callers, listeners, people from my work, people who aren't from the place that I might say will start to object. It's easy to go back to where you're from, isn't it? Which is why I talk about Taihape and the places of Taihape. But, you know, that's not fair on Martin and Hunterville and the other places within the Rangitike or the areas that are around that. I often go back and say, look, heritage is really, really broad. Okay. It's as broad as things like Century Farms. And I've often been asked about my favourite heritage place, and I talk about a farm down in Southland at Royal Bush called Broadlands, and it's where my in-law family is from. And they have a farm that's been in their family for over 100 years, and it's awarded a Century Farm status. So heritage can come in many different ways. It can be recognised and acknowledged in many, many different ways. I know that if I use where I'm from and my family's own history, you know, I don't get offside with too many people when I say those.
That seems a very sensible way to go about things. Andrew, it's been really lovely chatting to you today. I will just never mind about that. We've got one last thing to fit in this hour. So you are popping by every month to chat about heritage in Aotearoa. So we'll look forward to chatting to you again in April. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, thanks, Emil. And thanks for the opportunity to come in regularly and talk about the important topic of heritage.
Great stuff. That is Andrew Coleman. Andrew is the Chief Executive of Heritage New Zealand.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.